promoted as a father-son outing. And so if you have an opportunity to be a part of that, you can, whether you have a son go with you or not. And it is always a busy time of the year when things are happening. But keep that in mind. If you can put it on your calendar, you'll really enjoy it. It sounds like a great time. I'm really wanting to go because they have a javelin throwing contest. And I'm just going to tell you, and I'm going to tell the World Wide Web, if I go, I'm going to win that. I just want that to be said. So I used to throw the javelin, so I have an advantage, right? I don't know what kind of javelin it's going to be, if it's going to be like those iron things they make from the forge, or if it's actually going to be a track-sanctioned javelin. That would be really cool. So anyway. Anything else? There is a Real Gals leadership meeting on Wednesday. There's the Backyard Bible Club that's happening this Friday. We're excited about that, where it's an opportunity for our neighborhoods to hear the gospel in a very wonderful setting at someone's home in their backyard. There's also one on August 22nd and August 29th. And there will be some guest speakers showing up next week. Pastor Jason is going to preach. And the reason for that is, well, he's called to preach. That's part of it. But also, I may or may not be able to preach that day. I'm told that 50-year-olds should never get their wisdom teeth pulled. I don't know what the big deal is, but apparently it's a big deal. My dentist told me that it's going to be a horrible time. I'm going to hate it. I'm going to be really struggling for a long time afterwards. And I told Tina, I said, he doesn't know how tough I am, right? But whether I'm tough or not, I am taking precautions. So Pastor Jason will preach, Dean will lead again, and then I will be present, hopefully, with holes in my mouth. So there you go. And so that's going to be happening this Wednesday. So pray for me that when I go under the knife, that everything goes smoothly and they get out what they need to get out. Isn't that cool? All right. So I don't know. They're like, you have your wisdom teeth? Everybody's shocked. It's like, yeah, of course. Why not? You know, I'm a little worried about how dumb I'm going to get after it's gone, you know? I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. So anyway, those are things that are happening, kids' ministries and all that. So anyway, praise God. It's good to be here, and it's good to work. Look to the Word of God for encouragement. 1 Corinthians is where we're going to go. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to start with verse 4 and read through verse 14. Then I'm going to jump to verse 18 through 20. Then I'm going to jump to verse 27 through 31. If you have the notes on the bulletin, you see that is the text. And you are going to be encouraged and inspired today. Verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit of the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. I was just talking about that. And to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. Isn't it interesting that there is a separate gift of wisdom and knowledge? Anybody else find that kind of interesting? I mean, shouldn't they be the same thing? And yet they're not. Have you ever seen somebody who's like got an IQ like through the roof, but they're not necessarily practically able to socialize in this world because they're not maybe socially gifted, but they've got a great intelligence? So there is a difference, which I was like, whoa. And somebody that may not have the IQ to the roof may be very wise in how they approach life. And there are giftings that God gives us to each of those things. Not one is better than the other. And that's not the point of the message, is to lift one up and say one is better or one is not. It is actually quite the opposite. It's all important. Verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Some of you are sitting there and you're saying, I've never been used by God to give an interpretation of a tongues message. And you are beating yourself up over it. I'm telling you to stop doing that. It's okay. Now, should we all seek the gifts of the Spirit? Absolutely. But whether you've been used in that area or not, I want to encourage you, seek God's gift for you. And maybe you have given a message of tongues without the interpretation, or vice versa. Now, I want to encourage you, if you give a message of tongues, there is a responsibility to share what that really was saying. And so you need to seek that as you share. But here is a word from God telling us that each individual has special areas of gifting. For just as the body is one, and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. That's what verse 12 tells us. For in one Spirit they were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. What is your gifting? What have you been called to do in service unto the Lord? The title of the message is Called to Serve. And so we're going to seek God in encouraging and challenging you to find your call in service to the Lord God Almighty. And let's pray, shall we, as we consider these thoughts. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the blessing it is to serve you, to truly serve for the sake of your kingdom. And I pray your anointing to be upon us all as we look to your word for guidance and encouragement in this area. May we all find our place to minister one to another and to our neighborhood and our community and this world. May we all find your leading by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jumping ahead in our text to verse 18, it says, "But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose." That's his prerogative. Hallelujah. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Aren't you glad you're different than me? Isn't that wonderful that you don't have to bear that burden to be me? And there are times it's a burden. There are. And you might feel the same way about yourself. You're like, oh, I have to be me. But guess what? That's your call. You're supposed to be you. Do it well. You are different than I am. I am different than you are. We are all different one to another. And with that difference, we also have different gifts and different calls. What is your call? What is your gift? How can you serve the Lord with greatness? Jump ahead to verse 27 of that same chapter. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? That's one of those questions that we call rhetorical. It's not necessarily wanting you to answer because it's obvious. Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. So, the body of Christ, it's made up of many parts. Your body has many parts. All of those parts of who you are needed to function normally. Sometimes we go through things in life and we're missing parts. Pretty soon I'm going to be missing some teeth. I'm not exactly sure what that's going to be like. I'm curious, how will that work when I want to eat that steak? Is it going to chew as well? Am I going to have to chew longer? I had a test done when I was in high school, and I didn't know it was a test. All of us guys were invited to go into the home ec room. Remember when it's called home ec? All of us older people, 50 and up, right? So we go into the home ec room, and we're like, oh, what's up? And all the girls are like, you got to eat some stuff. We made some stuff for you. We're like, oh, good. And I was kind of the quiet guy. I'm just like, ooh, cool. I'm saying that to myself. But they hand us these plates of food, and the first thing I get was a steak, and it looked like it was medium well. I'm like, awesome. I mean, medium's great, but medium well's okay. I just don't like to have a brick for a steak. So I get this steak and I cut it and I'm chewing it and I'm, you know, it's good. And I'm chewing this steak and then I swallow, I take another bite, and this girl's sitting there staring at me the whole time. And she's just watching me and she's taking notes. I'm like, this is interesting, but I don't care. I'm eating steak. And so I ate my steak. And she then hands me something else. And I can't remember what the second thing was. But I remember the last one was finger jello. How many have had finger jello? No? Oh, it's awesome. It's like rubber, you know, but it tastes good. And so you're eating wonderful tasting rubber. And you put it in your mouth and you're chewing it up. And she looks at me and she goes, seriously? I'm like, and I didn't know what to say. When I'm all done, she goes, do you always eat that way? Yeah, I guess so. She goes, seriously, you really, that's the way you eat? I'm like, yes, that's the way I eat. She's like, that's incredible. Do you realize what you've done? I'm like, I have no idea what I've done. I'm shy, I'm kind of reclusive. I don't want to have the attention, right? And she tells me that there is a number of times you should chew your food before you swallow in order to be a healthy eater. And she said, for steak, the recommended number of chews before you swallow that meat is 40 to 50 times. Yeah. But here's the thing. I chewed 90 plus every single bite. She goes, that's incredible. I think the most was like 97, but it was always over 90, like 93, 95. 97 was the most. She goes, that's incredible. Wow. And she goes, and you even chewed your jello. It was like 15 to 20 times. Jello. I'm like, but I chewed it up. She goes, that's incredible. And I was like, oh, and my friend Brian, his last name was Schaefer. I don't know if he's watching or not. Maybe someday he'll see this. But he chewed like 13 times on the steak and didn't chew it all with the jello. He's like, it was like, whoo. And so it's like, I don't know what it's going to be like when those wisdom teeth are gone. I might have to chew at 110. I don't know. Everybody is different, and I had a certain way of eating. I still do. You can ask my wife. When we first started dating, it bothered her that I ate so slow, and it's not just because I'm talking, just so you know. I do talk. I do. But it's not that for that reason I'm a slow eater. I actually chew my food excessively. And I guess that's good because your body can break it down. It's already partially done before it gets the stomach, and boom, there you go, and everything's fine. You are different than me, and that's okay. I hope you chew your steak more than 13 times, by the way. You know, some were maybe less than that. It's better for your body. But here's the thing. You are called by God for a specific purpose in this life. You, as an individual, are uniquely gifted for your call and for your service to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. As part of the body of Christ, I want you to take up the mantle of the service you're called to do, whatever that might be. Number one, you are being prepared for works of service. Ephesians. Let's go there. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through verse 10. We often look at verse 8 and we don't always read on. And I think we should. It says here that it's by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Aren't you glad you do not have to earn salvation? You do not have to become good in order for God to love you. He loves you right where you are. You can't be good. You cannot be righteous. You cannot attain. You cannot receive anything because of your merits. We all fall short. We all come up less than good, less than perfect for sure. Matter of fact, we are filthy rags according to the Word of God without Jesus Christ's redemption in our hearts. But here we have this verse that we get really excited about, but we don't always read on. It says, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast, and then we stop. But I want you to see verse 10. For we are his workmanship. What does that mean? It means he made you. You are a product of his blessing in creation. He made you. He is the one that is the workman. And we're created in Christ Jesus for good works. You may not be able to earn your salvation. You will never come up to the place where you could say, I've earned the right to call upon God. You will never get there. I will never get there. However, we are created to do the good works. It's not the way we're saved, but it is part of who we become, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I want to read it all together now. Listen to it. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I had no idea, absolutely no idea, that God would want me to stand before anyone and preach his word. As a matter of fact, I would reject, and I did reject, the notion that I would ever stand before anyone and preach. I did not know that that was my gift. Now when I think back, I see how I use that gift in bad ways. I still remember growing up and not being able to physically outdo my brother in anything. But I could battle him with my words. And I can use that gift for evil. And I did. How many wish you could go back in time and change some things you did? I would love to do that. Take back those hateful words that I didn't mean. I only said it as a ploy to cause hurt, to win. And I'm ashamed of it. Not just because of the evil that was present in the very words I said, but because I used something God had given me that he meant for good. And I use it for evil. Growing up, I was shy. I was recluse. I was the one in the shadows. I was the one that you never saw in the room if I could help it. And yet, while that's true, I always, and I say this adamantly, I always had something to say. And I knew how to say it. I still remember when I got into the high school 8 years, and I was taking my English classes that you had to do in literature, and I loved it. Everybody else was like, oh, gotta read, gotta write. And I'm like, oh, this is so much fun. But I didn't want anybody to know that, so it's kind of like, shh, don't tell anybody. But the teacher always knew. And I still remember one of my teachers who called me aside and says, do you realize what you've just done here? And I'm like, I have no idea. What are you talking about? She says, you are a good writer. Have you considered writing for a career? No. Are you kidding me? Well, how about speaking? Would you like to be a speaker? Because you put words together. I'm like, no way. Are you crazy? No, she wasn't crazy. She saw something that I didn't. And I still battled with that while I went into college because I didn't want to listen to the voice of God and go into the ministry and be a preacher for crying out loud. That's my grandma's favorite saying, by the way. For crying out loud, why would I want to be a preacher? Why would I want to ever do such a thing? And yet, when I finally submitted, here's the deal I had with God. And you've heard my testimony. Here was the deal I had. God, I will say yes to your call if I can be me. And here's the thing, that I thought was outrageous. I thought me telling God, I'll say yes if I can be me, I thought that was crazy because I know who I am. And I didn't always like me. And God was like, duh, hello, I created you. Of course I want you to be you. I pointed out all the people I couldn't be, and he said, I don't want you to be them. I want you to be you. And so I said yes to the call, and I've never looked back. I found my call. I found my purpose. I found the reason God created me. I know my personality. I know the giftings that I've been given. I have been obedient to put them into action. For me, it led to the full-time ministry to be a pastor of a church or a youth pastor or an associate pastor. Who knows? Someday it could be something else, but it will always include the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is unshakable. Undeterred will always be. However it is that I choose to follow the lead of God in the call, it will include the preaching of His word. I need to be me in the ministry. And God said, of course. And so what does that do? Well, how has that looked over the years? Well, I have done cow-calf separations on top of a horseback because I grew up with horses and I love riding. I found out I'm the cow whisperer. You know those big old paddles that you use to separate cows? They don't always have those electric prods. Sometimes it's just those big paddles. And I was helping out with this cow-calf separation, and the guys were getting upset and frustrated. I said, can I give it a try? And they're like, yeah, jump in there, pastor, reverend, whatever, do something. And I said, sure, okay. So I jump in there, and here comes the cow, and it's a big circular chute, and I got to separate the calf, put the calf here, and keep the cow go over there. And so the cow and the calf, they come running in, and they're like, ooh, because they're all ready to bust, right? And I point that thing right at that cow's head. And she stops. She goes, ooh, what are you going to do with that? And I just moved it to the side a little bit, and she goes, oh, you want me over there? And she goes over there. Calf goes over here. I'm like, that worked pretty good. So the next one comes in, and that cow comes running, ready to bust. I point it right at her head. And she's like, ooh, what are you going to do with that? And I'm like, I put it to the side. She goes there, and the calf goes there. I did this like 6 or 7 cow-calf pairs in a row, and the guy, the ranchers, are standing there dumbfounded. I've never seen anything like it. And I'm like, what? This is easy. I don't know what your guys' problem is. It was so crazy. I never did that before. But here's the thing. I knew horses and I knew cattle to a degree because I knew animals. I grew up on a farm. And so God has used me to do some crazy things that are not pastoral. I've done that. I've done branding. I've done semi-hauling. I've hauled grain across the country, across counties. I've run a combine with a 40-foot draper head with GPS technology. I set up the field's computer because the farmer was just kind of getting used to it. He says, here's what you got to do. Do you think you can do that? Said, sure, why not? And so I'm sitting in a combine with a computer. And I'm watching how many grains, how many bushels per acre every second. And the moisture and all of that stuff. And I'm going, this is amazing. I don't even have to steer. I've been a coach. I've been on staff at a school. I've been a bus driver. I am right now. I've been a Kiwanis president, which I am right now. I've been a Rotary president in the past. I've done the things that God has called me to be. And in a personal way, I'm going to ask you, who are you? What can you do for the kingdom of God? Jump ahead to verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 11. I want you to know that what we just read tells us that we're prepared for works in advance. God knew when He put me on that farm that someday it would come in handy when I'm out there with the ranchers, with the farmers, with the athletes, and the different people of the school district, and the teams that need a driver. He knew that long before I ever did. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. And He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints of the work for the work of ministry, for building up of the body of Christ. My responsibility, as a side note here, which is really a main point, is that my job as your pastor is to give you the word of God and to challenge you to do the works of the ministry. Do you know that you can reach more people with the gospel than I can? Now, I can preach and I can go on the internet and people can hear my voice and they can see the things from that pulpit supply position. But does that really reach the heart of man? It's the personal relationships that make the most difference. And as the body of Christ is involved with the ministries that we have, you see miracles take place. Verse 13 says, until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, by deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. You are not supposed to stay an infant in the church. That's a really quiet answer right there. You are not supposed to stay as the one who needs discipleship. You are to become the discipler. Verse 15, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Your ministry, whatever it is, will help to build up the body of Christ. And we are the body of Christ. And it doesn't just include our church. It includes all of those who are part of God's great family, and it does not have denominational bounds. Hallelujah. There are so many brothers and sisters in this community that are on the same page with you and I in their faith, and we need to find ways that we can build each other up for the kingdom of God as we are involved with the call in the ministries of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your ministry helps to build up the body of Christ. It brings unity to the body. It brings maturity to the individual. It brings all to the fullness of Christ. The more people are involved in serving, the healthier church is. And here's what I've learned over the years. And this is pretty much a known fact across ministries. People who are not involved in serving struggle in life, struggle in faith. If you find yourself struggling, I ask you this question: what are you doing for the kingdom? What are you doing to serve? It's amazing how service to God brings maturity and strength of faith. And the enemy comes along and wants to tear you down, and you say, I'm sorry, I'm part of the kingdom of God. I'm a son or a daughter of the King. I'm sorry, you have no business here. Somehow you've grown in maturity in the discipleship of your life in faith, and you find yourself stronger than you ever knew you could be. It's a miracle of God's work in your life. But it comes through application of faith. Not simply by listening to a good word or having worship music on in the background. Those are good things. But they do not create disciples. Action does. Ministry, service does. So ask yourself this question. What can I do? All of us go through different stages of life. And those things of what you are able to do with your faith changes. When I was a coach for football, I enjoyed it very, very much, and I can still coach. I would love to be a part of that again. But I probably, I'm just going on a limb here, I probably will not put the pads on the last day of practice. I will probably not hit our fullback with more force than he's ever been hit before, and he is surprised and awestruck and wowed. I probably won't do that again because I did it in my late 30s and it hurt then. It was the first time in my life I went to a chiropractor. My wife says, you will go to the chiropractor, because I'm still going like this after 4 or 5 days. I'm fine. No worries. And by the time I got there, by the way, the doctor's like, oh, actually, you're in pretty good shape. Why are you here? I'm like, well, I played football. He goes, oh, when you were young? No, last week. Oh, okay, I get it. But I could tell, I could still put the hit on. My body just doesn't like it so much. I'm a little bit wiser, at least for now. Next week, maybe not so much. I might not remember these words of wisdom and think I can do that again. What can you do for the kingdom of God right now? Not what you did last week, or not what you did 10 years ago, or 30 or 40 years ago. What can you do for him today? What is your spiritual gift? Only you can answer that. I, at the time, as a young believer, didn't even know how to answer that. I didn't know. But through the testing of God and the call of His Holy Spirit and my listening heart and the encouragement of family and friends, I came to a place where I realized what my call was. I had to make the decision to say yes, so do you. What is your God-given gift? Is it music? Is it teaching? Is it prayer? Are you a prayer warrior? Do you know how to pray? Some people are like, wow, I wish I could pray like you do. Well, prayer sometimes needs to be more simple than complex. And one of the greatest prayers I've ever heard came from a 9-year-old boy, my brother. Is your gift food? Not eating food, although we're all gifted that way, but making food. Those are some of the things that we see common in the church. We see the music. We hear the, or we know that there's teachers. We know that there's prayer. We know that there's food that's passed out from different ministries, potlucks, and different things. But let's go beyond that. Let's go beyond the obvious. How are you with your tools? Are you a handy man? Or maybe a handy woman? There are some women that are mechanics that do a far better job working on a vehicle than the guys do. Is that your gifting? How about helping somebody with their car needs? How about grab that toolbox and go and do a little maintenance for someone who can't afford to bring it into the shop? Are you technically skilled? Do you have a mind that's able to grasp complex things? Maybe you would be a great person to sit alongside someone who's working on their math, because mom or dad can't figure it out, but you know, you understand it. You would volunteer yourself to help some kids after school. Maybe your hobbies are gifts that you've never even thought you could use for God. But you could take a young man hunting, or you can go and play some basketball, shoot some hoops, and show the techniques, how to do it correctly. I'm tired of seeing the incorrect form out there on the basketball court. Well, how about you teach somebody? Amen. Boy, this is getting a little bit hard here. Taking someone fishing. Tired of going by yourself? Bring a kid along. Bring a young adult. Bring somebody else that's maybe a shut-in. Say, you know what? I can get you in the boat. Let's go. Maybe you've got connections. You know how it is in the world? Sometimes it's the people you know that move things and shake things. Well, maybe you're one of those people. Maybe you're a mover and a shaker in this community, and you could actually see some things happen that would benefit our community in a way that I could never get done. But you can. You've got the right connections. Maybe you know how to write grants. You know how to help out these nonprofits to get the things that they need to help. Be a grant writer. So many different things. We have something here, Fathers in the Field. It's a great ministry that is happening in our nation and in our state where young men are getting trained and discipled by men. And it's like fathers to sons, except it's not biological. It's not foster care, although I understand the concept is similar. It's basically taking a couple days a week, or at least one time a week and a few times a month, where you're connecting with young boys and just discipling them, taking them to a place where they can learn more about God. Are you able to do something like that? Maybe you want to be a foster family, you know, helping with families and children. What is it that you're doing for the kingdom of God? It doesn't have to be just here through this church. Amen? You can do it in so many different ways. What can I do, you ask? Well, let me ask you this. What's your passion? What do you like doing? You might be surprised that God will say to you, what you enjoy is something that can be used for the kingdom of God. What do you love to do? God speaks to us through our desires. What is your ability? What do you do well? Well, I can run a combine. You can? Well, sure, I grew up running combines. Well, what do you think about computer technology, GPS, and all that? I don't know about that. But I can run a combine. You put me in the cab, I'll figure it out if you give me a little help. Next thing I know, I don't get to get out of the combine anymore. I was running semi for 3 years, and this farmer friend of mine, he was just in the combine all the time, and he wanted to see what the grain was looking like. He wanted to be able to measure it. And so he puts me in the combine one day because they had a funeral to attend, and I never looked back. For the next 3 years, I run the combine every harvest. Why? Because God said so. What can you do? What's your giftings? What skills do you have? Have you considered how they might be used to bless somebody else? When I first started working for this family, it was because she, the wife, was going through cancer. And she couldn't work that year. And he didn't know what he was going to do. And I said, I can drive for you. I can run your tractor. I can run your semi. I can run your tandem trucks. Put me in there. We're good to go. And it became a long-standing opportunity. What's your personality? Find an area of ministry that matches your personality. Are you a people person? Then you might want to find ways that you can be involved in relational skills. Are you a warm person? Empathetic? Do you communicate well? Find a way to use that gifting for ministry. Maybe you're not a people person. Maybe you're kind of hard and too blunt, and it's not really your gifting, but you might be better at procedure ministries. You're more detail-oriented. Maybe you have computer skills, and you might be able to help in those areas. Are you an analysis, structure kind of person? Well, find your ministry. What's your experience? What have you done before? Are you one that has an education background? You've been trained in an area and you've not used it in the field, but you could use it for ministry. What's your spiritual gifts? What's your spiritual background? What's your vocation? I appreciate Paul and his nickname Taco. Taco's story is pretty awesome. Providing tacos for the railroad crew. Yvonne, you should have Taco somewhere in your name, right? You should probably be the one with the name Taco. I'm guessing. Taco, did you make those tacos? Yeah, no? So that's a gift that God has used as a blessing. God calls us to serve in areas we have had training and we have had experience. Granted, sometimes it goes out and above and beyond. I still remember my first speech class at Bible college. I didn't take speech when I was in high school. I didn't want any part of it. I mean, who wants to do that? If you don't have to, why would you? So I go to Bible college, and I'm in the classroom, and the first thing they do is, okay, we're going to see how you all are with your skills of speech. So you got to pull something out of the paper bag and give a five-minute speech. Or 3 minutes. I don't remember how old the time was. And I was looking around like, oh, wow, okay then. And everybody else, they knew what they were doing. They'd done this before. I had no idea. So I get up there when it was my turn. I grab something out of the bag, and I don't remember what it was. But I looked at that thing. Then I looked at the clock, and I saw the second hand. I said, okay. So I just started talking about this thing in my hand. And I looked at the clock, and I saw it was just about time to wrap it up. So I wrapped it up, put the thing back on the table, and went back to my seat and sat down. And the teacher happened to be sitting there. She looks at me. You said you've never had speech before. Nope. That's impossible. Why? She goes, because that was one of the best impromptu speeches I have ever heard. How did you do that? I don't know. So sometimes you don't even know what you're gifted as until you're called on it, right? Maybe that will be your experience. You have no idea how good you are working with kids until you get your hands in there and you start working with kids through the children's ministries or somehow get involved. Maybe it's teenagers and you have no idea that you'd be a great youth sponsor because you've never done it before. But you may be the best youth sponsor this church has ever had. When you follow the call of God, you find amazing things of gifting. People are most effective when they're fulfilling the purpose God has shaped them for. I would like to end today's encouragement and challenge about calling, being called to serve with 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter, chapter 2 and verse 5. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Jumping down to verse 9 and also verse 10. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You are the body of Christ. What are you doing in service to the King of Kings? You are a living stone. You are a spiritual house. A holy priesthood. Sometimes people look at that and they get overwhelmed with this idea of, oh, I got to be a pastor. No, that's not what it's saying. It's just wanting you to understand how valuable you really are in your service to the King of Kings. You are a holy nation. You can and you will proclaim the excellence of the Almighty God. I want to encourage you to take time this week to write down your gifts, your desires, write down your abilities, and begin to pray over them. Begin to pray over those things of which you are, your personality, what you like to do, what you love to do, your giftings, your skills, your training. Write it all down and begin to pray and ask, God, how can I be used with these things that define me, that are a part of me? I look at the year 2020, and it's two ways that we can look at it. You could say, oh, woe is me, 2020, right? Because this has been a crazy year. Or let's do this. Let's look at it like, wow, look at the opportunities. Which way are you going to fall? Oh, woe is me? Or wow, look what God can do in this as you demonstrate his love to someone else. Every one of us can do something for God's kingdom. It can begin with the small and the easy. Tithing is simple. It's so easy. You just take one-tenth of whatever you have in. And you say, here it is, Lord. Anyone can do it. A child can tithe. We can go above and beyond tithes. You want to start with something simple? Start there. And begin to see how God blesses your sacrifice. And find yourself realizing that you can do more. You can not only give of your finances, but you can give of your time. You can set aside time every week. We have a crew that is very faithful that sits upstairs above you, and they make sure that we have sound. They make sure that we have something going out on the internet every single week. They make sure that things are balanced and there's music played. so that you can worship. And they don't do it just once a year. They don't do it a couple times a month. They do it every single week. Now, it would be wonderful to have teams that could alternate their opportunities to minister so they can sit where you are, raise their hands in worship, and clap their hands with praise right alongside their kids or their parents or their friends. That would be a wonderful thing. I'm sure they would agree. But we don't have enough people involved, so they can't. And so they're faithful. Maybe you would like to be a part of something like that. I'm just throwing out ideas of how we can see everyone involved. Maybe it's something where you could begin small, like, you know, that Diet Coke that you just got to have? Don't get it. Don't get it. Take the money that would have purchased the Diet Coke, set it aside. And keep doing that. Every time you get the urge for that Diet Coke, set that little bit of money aside. Maybe you like to go out to eat. And you say, you know what? I'm not going to go out to eat every Friday or every Tuesday or every Sunday afternoon. I'm going to take that money aside. See what God can do with that. I'm talking about the simple things here. Because giving is simple. It's more difficult to be a teacher at Sunday school every Sunday for 9 months of the year. That's real sacrifice. But the payoff is worth it. Because your payoff is in heaven. It's for eternity. Shaping the hearts and the minds of young people to know Jesus and to love Him. Is there a greater ministry than that? I could go on. What I'd like you to do is pray and find your place. Would you stand with me? We are all called to serve. And we should serve one another. It should become a natural thing. But serving God in ministries that we have been created for is the ultimate act of obedience. Let's pray and ask God to lead us to our place, whatever it is. Some of you, I realize I'm going to use the phrase, I'm preaching to the choir. You've been serving. You have been faithful. I want God to bless you for that and continue to. But some of us here have not. Some of us listening in have not been actively involved. And so we need to find our place. Lord God, I pray that you will seek your children's hearts with your Holy Spirit. Draw them to a place where they will accept a responsibility of service, whatever it might be. It could be something in our community, not even going through this church, but going somehow into a place of influence for your sake. Whatever it is, Lord God, I pray that we will be obedient children to say yes when the time comes, and that we will see lives touched, lives renewed, lives that are changed for your sake through the sacrifices of service of your children. I pray for each one here, each one listening in, that they will find a place. Because as we are actively involved in service to you, our strength grows stronger. Our faith becomes powerful. Lead us, I pray. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen.